This episode is sponsored in part by Swim. Okay, here's a depressing stat. 70% of shoppers who want your products never actually buy them. They browse, they consider, then they forget. That's revenue walking out the door. Swim Wishlist Plus turns browsers into buyers. Customers save products they want, get notified when prices drop or items restock. You can also engage them in personalized fashion through your marketing or sales outreach. It's like having a personal shopper reminding them to come back and buy from you instead of your competitors. And 45,000 stores already use it, and it only takes 5 minutes to install. You can try it free today for 14 days. Go to getswim.com/Kurt. That's swimwithay.com/Kurt. Turn those maybe laters into sales today. Getswim.com. Welcome back to the unofficial Shopify podcast. I'm your host, Kurt Elster. Today, we are discussing email. Well, all right, not just email, Black Friday email strategy, Q4 email strategy. Black Friday's almost here, right around the corner. I have a guest today who is going to walk us through a email strategy, tactics, tips, and he's a good person to do it because he has sent 500 million emails just this year for his clients through Bedford Marketing. Joining us is Philip Page. Phil, how you doing?
Hey, Kurt. Doing well. Thanks so much for having me. Big fan of the pod. Excited to be here.
I am happy to have you because when we talked before, I got in the pre-interview, I got excited about, you know, a lot of the advice, your opinions, tips, experience with email. That's always a good sign. So I want to go over that with you today. And let's see, where should we start? Well, okay. It's late October, you know, almost Halloween when this is published. Is it too late, or is it like I could scramble and do okay now?
Yeah, for sure. So if you're kind of like a brand that's just figuring it out or super early days and you're looking at the holidays, I don't think it's too late. I think it's always worth kind of tempering your expectations as to what you're going to get out of Black Friday, but it's always good to kind of go into it and say, hey, let's see what we can do this year. Let's test, let's learn. So that the years that come after, because many more will come, that you're even more prepared in the future. So I wouldn't say it's too late. I would say depending on your brand size and scale and what you're trying to accomplish from an offer or new arrival standpoint, that you kind of set out, hey, let's try these few things this year. Let's put kind of a simple calendar in place and let's try to execute on it and keep it simple. And I'm sure you'll be fine.
I like keep it simple. You know, what I don't want is people, we go, hey, here's a million like advanced tactics you could do. And then people get overwhelmed and do nothing, right? Do nothing is the only bad option here. Sending anything is better than nothing, most likely. Give me a temperature check for the rest of the year. You know, we have seen some stores where it's like, it seems like overall conversion rates tend to be down, you know, in general, you know, not necessarily for everyone. And so maybe their Q4 is higher stakes, you know, for us just in our agency professional services. Like we've been up this year, but really like a lot of our growth has been Q3, Q4. I'm wondering if it's the same for your e-commerce clients.
I would say it's definitely a mix. Every year we go into it with some clients who are struggling. And then we also have a cohort of clients who are doing really well. I think regardless of where you are as a brand, as far as like how the year's been, because I was just at e-commerce fuel last week or 2 weeks ago, and there's a lot of folks in the room who are very smart, very experienced, and they were struggling. And so I think regardless of where you are on that spectrum, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and just the holidays in general is important. It doesn't matter who or what you are. It's just a question of kind of how aggressive and what are your goals for the holiday season and making sure that you're kind of really clear on that so that when you get to the email marketing stage, which should obviously come after kind of your ads and your funnels and your new arrivals and drops, you're really clear on like, hey, this is what email needs to do for us. A lot of our clients are coming from that perspective, and we're doing our best to build kind of plans around that so that they can ideally execute and grow out of Black Friday and not turn around some of the harder times they've had this year.
Yeah. So I want to know, well, what tools do you use? I assume that most of these folks are Shopify Klaviyo.
Yeah, for the most part, we've got clients on Shopify, Klaviyo. We've got a few clients that are working with Attentives, Postgres, Yotpose of the world, and a few others. But I would say like the lion's share is kind of like a Klaviyo Shopify stack for email and e-commerce. And then SMS is a little bit all over the place.
Do you have a preference for SMS?
Personally, I'm a huge fan of keeping things simple. So I tend to lean towards telling clients to stay everything on Klaviyo just because you can mix things together. I will give a shout out to like the PostScript team. They're doing really cool stuff to kind of push the bar. There's a few other like smaller companies doing interesting stuff, like the LiveRecovers, the One Text of the world with SMS as well. But I think brands should be looking at and seeing if it fits for them. But I'm biased to keep things simple. I don't have any like monetary contracts with Klaviyo that pushes me to say that. I just like I said, keep things easy.
So you told me when we talked earlier that a lot of brands can really make their hit their Q4 goals in the first half of November before we even reach Black Friday. Explain this magic.
I think it's super realistic for some brands. It's obviously not going to be every brand that can kind of hit like whatever their goal set out, because it's obviously a factor of what you set your goals to. But from my experience, most brands are not being aggressive enough earlier on in November. They kind of see Black Friday as the only moment to go aggressive with marketing, go aggressive with email, update the banners on the site. But more and more over the last few years, you've seen anywhere from smaller brands to the most sophisticated brands. Basically, the second Halloween ends, that next day is holiday season. And I'm even seeing this year, a lot of brands are kind of treating Halloween as the early holidays, which is super interesting. And so when we work with brands, what we've uncovered is, hey, when we set up a proper strategy in place that's differentiated from BFCM, focusing just on early November, for a lot of brands, we can kind of hit those initial targets that they might have had for Black Friday and that period after Black Friday. We can get a lot of that revenue very early on, take a lot of their customers kind of out of the funnel early on, and then kind of build a whole nother layer of revenue going into BFCM. And it's also nice because they'll get the revenue earlier on so they can reinvest that directly into the holiday period.
So I'm wrong if I'm thinking all of my emails and my sends happen on just Black Friday or like that week. It's really, I believe you break November up into three separate periods.
So for the most part, the way I look at it with brands is there's like 2-3 weeks before Black Friday. We look at that as kind of one period. We look at the week leading up to Black Friday, and maybe a few days like that weekend and that week leading up to Black Friday as one period. And then we have kind of the up until shipping deadline. So like December 1st or December 2nd, all the way until shipping deadline. I kind of look at it as like three sprints, and we work with brands within each of those to figure out what's the right promotional cadence, what's the right like new arrival cadence, and just email cadence in general. And I look at each of those as separate time periods. And then within Black Friday, we also look at that in its own little universe. But that's how we approach it at our agency with our clients.
You touched on it a little bit. I want to understand content mix. How much of this is promo versus non-promo? What are we actually sending here?
I guess we can go deeper into this, but every brand we work with will kind of start off the conversation of what's coming in the brand, like what is new. Because at the end of the day, like everybody wants to make kind of sell new arrivals and sell out limited edition new products that are obviously high margin. So we'll always start with that. We'll look at what's an actual like blockbuster new arrival in the sense of when we drop this, are people going to go crazy and buy this? The best brands are building new arrivals around the holiday in that way. So we'll first layer those into the calendar. From there, we'll look at what their promotional strategy is in general, and we'll look at week by week, what can we be doing that's interesting around their bestsellers, around things that maybe they're trying to stock out of that they have too much inventory on, or they just want to lower inventory from a cash flow standpoint on things. And then just like general sales and like special days throughout the month that we want to hit on. So we'll look at it from a promotional angle. And then the last piece is like, hey, we've kind of built up the calendar from a promo and new arrival standpoint. Is there anything else? Is there like gift guides or any other kind of types of content that we want to build in on top of that? And that's basically like the bottom up approach of like how we build out a calendar. So it's less about like, hey, let's get a 30-30-30 like three-way split, like perfect 33% split across the three promo and new arrival and non-promotional email content. It's much more about like, what do we have? And like, let's build onto it from like a profit first standpoint, and then kind of set the calendar that way.
Once you've determined what this content is, what these emails campaigns are you just sending this to the entire list? Do we do any segmenting here? What's the strategy?
Every brand is different. I would say for smaller brands, throughout the holidays, you definitely want to ramp up how many emails and to how many people you are sending, and kind of also pull up your engaged segments. So if you're used to sending to a 30 or 60 or 90 day engaged, you probably want to pull that up a notch, just to get a little bit of a broader cohort for your big sale days, your big new arrival days, for the end of sales. We're typically blasting the whole list, as long as the list is obviously like rightfully cleaned. And that's like the smaller brand strategy. For the bigger brand strategy, ideally the brand is, when I say bigger, I'm talking about the eight figures, the nine figure brands of the world. You likely have like many different hero products and different strategies for every product. So look, like this is where you'll get a lot more involved with like the brand teams and figuring out what their objectives are. But in an ideal world, there's some level of segmentation within each of those products, but those products should be layering on top of each other within your sales. And it should be relatively straightforward on like who should be getting what campaign or who should be getting a more generic campaign within those promos. And then for new arrivals, definitely there's like some level of segmentation. So if you look at apparel, for example, whether it's a new arrival that's for men or for women, we can play around with different segments there as well. That makes sense. But in general, smaller, less segmentation, bigger, definitely a lot more segmentation because relevance does matter a ton at that scale.
Let's walk through. I want to walk through an example for a brand. It could be one that. Do you have any hobbies? Do you have a brand you like that's not a client that you just, but you're familiar with?
I'm trying to think. We could talk about like from a basketball. I play basketball a lot. Okay. What's that brand? Vicatry? I forgot how to say their name. They do like the shoe insoles. That's the first one that comes to mind. They're definitely not a client, but they're an interesting company.
Oh, it's Victory.
Victory. Okay. That makes more sense. There we go.
It's Victory. And then they took out the vowels and used a K. Okay, great. I like it. Victory. So we're going to use Victory insoles as our example. We're going to brainstorm. You're welcome, Victory, by the way. We're going to brainstorm a campaign here. What is our, and we're going to do November. What's it look like? We're going to start with assume an early bird sale right after Halloween. Think through it with me.
So the first thing, like before we even hit sales, I'm looking at like what's new. I'm assuming Victory is like iterating their product. Maybe like what I'm willing to bet with a product like this, because it's all about, I'm just looking at their site really quickly, but it's about like jumping higher performance. I'm willing to assume like a lot of like parents buy this for their kids. So it's probably a really awesome holiday gift because kids want to be better at sports. They want to be like the superstars in basketball, do the highlights the same way. So I could see gifting being a big thing. And so this season's probably like, they probably crush in this season. So I'm thinking like, like new arrivals, like ideally they're launching like some upgraded version of their products, or they're launching some sort of maybe collaboration with NBA players or someone like that. That's definitely like what I want to layer on first. And just make sure like, hey, new colorways, holiday colorways, these are all like really awesome and like simple high margin emails that I want to see them sending. And let's just assume like those are all out of the way. I'm probably starting to look at like, okay, what's happening on a promotional standpoint. And feel free to cut me off here, but I would say to start, I definitely want in the first week to go after probably some of the higher AOV customers. What a lot of people don't think about when it comes to promotional planning is, within each brand, you have different cohorts of spending. You have your higher end customers, your middle end customers, and your lower end customers. Your higher end customers, they want to spend, they can spend more money. They have more discretionary income to spend. Your middle tier, they're probably buying like your average, they're your AOV customers. And then you have kind of your lowest end customers. That's like your deal shopper. They'll always come and pick up the stuff that's 80% off or 70% off if you do that. Coming in early into the month, I'm probably looking at, okay, for a brand like this, how do I win over those like customers with bigger discretionary balances that want to like buy maybe multiple? So I'm probably exploring with them either some sort of interesting bundle offer or working around like buy one, get ones, or buy two, get ones, or whatever it is. I'll probably play around with that to start in like the first week. going into this, or, and maybe we'll just start with the buy one, get one offer, buy one, get one 70% off. That's interesting.
BOGO kills. BOGO's so good. Like, especially for an apparel brand where you could do like, you know, you sell socks, hats, like the t-shirts. If the unit economics makes sense, BOGO's great. And even like buy two, get one's great, you know, and in Shopify with automatic discounts, these aren't tough to do anymore.
100%. It's like Shopify has made it so easy, which is super awesome. And like, I look at like a lot of like the supplement brands and they get a lot of hate in the e-com world, but I think they do a lot of things really brilliantly. And you look at some of them will do crazy offers, like buy three supplements, get like five free and like insane stuff like that. And they're not just doing it by accident, like it works. So when I see like crazy offers like that, I kind of try to scale it down a little bit and say like, what's like an insane offer that actually could work within the scope of like brands I'm working with. So like, we've got one brand this year, we A/B tested earlier on in the season, like a buy two, get two. So you buy two of the X product and you get two for free. And like, well, it's just amazing margin for them because there's nothing being discounted. And it's basically buying two, whereas the AOV, like the average order size is one unit. So they're basically doubling their unit size, plus they're getting basically all that margin on the second SKU, and then they're giving up some margin on the third and fourth, but their like cost per unit is low enough where it's like totally upside for them. So
that's really clever.
Yeah. So if you're a brand like you said, and you haven't tested BOGOs, you should be testing BOGOs. but yeah, that's probably like my week one is, hey, let's test like a little flash sale. Like let's test like a 2-3 day BOGO offer. Let's try to take out some of those higher income people off. The next one I'm doing is, and maybe it's like a more aggressive, like buy two, maybe it's a, or even like a spend tier, spend over 200, get an extra like insole for free. We could play around with something like that. And then maybe in the second week we go on like a buy one BOGO, which is just getting the person who would usually buy one, let's get them to buy two. Let's push them up one tier.
Here's a word from our sponsor, Zipify. You know why they call it Black Friday? It's when businesses finally dig out of the red and turn real profit. Want to squeeze every penny from your Black Friday sale? One click upsell is the easiest money you'll make all season. OCU automatically increases average order value by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells at every step of your customer journey. Plus, there's a new tool built right in, Zipify Post Profit. Post Profit monetizes your thank you page with brand-safe ads from partners like Hulu, GoDaddy, and Disney+. Doesn't cost you anything. Just switch it on and get paid pure profit for every view automatically. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas, earn up to 30% more from every order all year long. Don't leave money on the table this holiday season. Go to zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. Hold on, let's recap. Our first week, we want to do our limited edition, like any new product. And even if you don't necessarily have like a new line, maybe you have a different color, a collab, you know, we built Adam's Polish as a car detailing site. They do pumpkin spice. They'll change the scent of existing products and That's do limited awesome. Editions that way. Like whatever. You know, so I'm just looking for any novelty, anything new, and you know, just like build some goodwill with my good customers and prime the pump a little bit there. And then, you know, some successful offer that's worked in the past. I love the buy two, get two. I think that's very clever. You know, everybody wins in that one. People love those deals and you know, you get great unit economics and it's just a good offer. And then, okay, so that's like week one and two. We're going to do that.
So
now we're in week three.
I guess, sorry to interrupt you, but like, I would actually look at it a little bit different. Like, I don't want to just dump all my new arrivals in the first week. Typically, like with new arrivals, I want to intersperse them throughout the month. I want like almost like a checkered pattern. I want like new arrivals and promos coming in and out because the way I see November, it's just like a bunch of holiday shopping dopamine hits. And if I just do all my new arrivals up front, all of my folks who might be looking for an offer, I'm kind of giving them nothing to work with. And if I just do offers, there's nothing new. So a lot of my like old school like customers, they're also going to be like annoyed.
I don't have a reason to buy, even if it's a good deal. Okay, so, I got you.
Yeah. So let's like intersperse it. So like week one, let's do a new arrival and let's do the buy two, get two offer to get like a little bit of both.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And then,
That's week one. And then week two, I'm flip-flopping it. I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah. So I'd like, for a brand like this, let's launch like partner, some sort of partnership. Like let's partner with the Golden State Warriors and the Lakers and the Miami Heat. Let's drop some like exclusive limited editions that are in like super tight inventory situations that we can kind of push and make feel special so that people feel like they got a deal that's not coming back later on in the month. And then let's try to get a different tier of customers into from a promotional standpoint. So maybe we could test like a more simple buy one, get one, or even just like a spend tier offer, spend whatever, $100, get a free, spend 200, get two free, so that we kind of appeal to that customer who doesn't need four insoles. Maybe they just want one and we can convince them to get two. The nice thing about insoles is like they go bad every 5 to 6 months. So like you will need more. And if I give them two, like they'll be back next Black Friday and I can retarget them. So I'm not too worried about that. It actually works out in my favor. So that's probably week two. I would say that's like reasonable. Week three is like where we're starting to get like a little more juicy. I would say ideally one of our best launches probably are not our the best, but if they have like, let's say like a new, like an upgraded version of their like insoles, like let's launch that the week before BFCM. And then let's also experiment with like that, like lowest cohort of customer who we still haven't really spoken to. Let's exclude anybody who's purchased all throughout the month. Let's exclude some of our higher AOV customers who have purchased in the past. And let's like try to target the folks who have been discount shoppers over the last couple years, or who have never purchased, and let's do whatever we can to get them into, let's get them out of the funnel, let's get them to buy some things. So that's where I'll do my like up to percentage off discounts or some really cool like gift with purchase offer that's like irresistible.
One of my favorites.
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially you said like, hey, if you've got like a limited edition thing, if you make the gift with purchase a like some exclusive, that does really well. Like one of my favorites was Hoonigan often would do enamel pins, but the enamel pins were never sold on the site. You could only get those as a free gift with purchase and they would change them. And like one of the best campaigns we ever saw was they changed the pin each day for 5 days. I think was how it worked, like over Black Friday, to really incentivize like you have a bonus reason to purchase in addition to, you know, all the other campaigns that were going on.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's like such a smart strategy. And the reason I love it is because I look at like, once again, these like little dopamine hits, but also forcing people to open your next email is so important. So when you limit things to one day at a time and you properly communicate like, hey, this expires at midnight and tomorrow something new is coming, it forces that like inherent like FOMO and curiosity, but also urgency all at once. So that it's like, hey, I need to check every email from this brand because I like these products. And like, I want to get the best possible thing. So I love that. And coming out of what you just said, I will call out like one huge caveat, like for all the brands listening who are like, hey, we have like 16,000, like whatever, old insoles. Like, let's just gift with purchase it because why not? We need to get rid of the inventory. I would
often
just like
GWP's distressed inventory, right?
I would just give a really, maybe add that as the second gift with purchase on top of something that people actually want. Your thing,
like
that you're
a tiered gift with purchase. Like at 50, get X, at 100, get Y.
Maybe just give them two gifts with purchase because realistically, like that thing that you're over inventoried on, this is just me guessing. I don't know people's situations, obviously, but most of the time it's like, it's a slow seller. It's not something that your customers want necessarily.
Yeah, you're overstocked for a reason.
Exactly. For the most part, sometimes brands just are having cash flow problems. And if that's the case, run that gift with purchase. That makes sense. Why not? But I see a lot of brands try to push through an overstocked, slow seller. And if you think that's going to work in Black Friday, I would like put like a really big asterisk, like watch out, because it probably won't. And you'll probably be disappointed with your performance. You should look at more creative ways. Things I see brands do is like mystery gifts. And like I said, layering on multiple, like put one favorable gift and then also tack on that extra, like less favorable gift. And that way, at least it feels like someone's getting a bunch of stuff. I'm not a huge fan of just like pushing crap onto your customers. So like ask yourself, like, is it worth it? Or should we just throw this stuff out and like sell higher margin, better products? So big strategy question to ask, and like everyone's situations are going to be different, but that's kind of my POV.
We've got week one, two, three, and we're just doing you know, new novel and various campaigns with a focus on AOV. Like all the camp, not one time have you been like, hey, 25% off the site wide. It's been Spendex, Get Y, BOGO. So like bundle discount or, you know, spend like tiered discount would work too, where it's like, yeah, it's site wide, but there's like wide sale percent off, but hey, spend more and the discount amount goes up. I like those too. So I appreciate the focus on AOV as opposed to, you know, I can get a great conversion rate if I just go, yeah, everything's 50% off, right? But I'm probably not going to make a lot of money doing it. So what that gets us up to the big day. That gets us up to Black Friday week. What's our plan there? And like these past email, were we segmenting them? Like if someone makes a purchase, or then are we going to segment them out? So we're not like, hey, the thing you just bought's now on sale.
Yeah,
that's what I would struggle with. It's like, do I want them to see if they'll purchase again, or do I want them to not feel the burn of, hey, it's now on sale? I never know.
It's a great question, and it's something to like test within itself. That's the reason I start with like my bigger offers earlier in the month. And when I say bigger, I mean like appealing to higher AOV customers, is because if you stagger it downwards, you're offering like a offer on like a bunch of products, which is like going to be your highest value, but also ideally your highest margin offer. And then the next week it's like for two products. And so that's less value perceived to the customer. So even if that first week person who bought sees that again, they're not going to be annoyed. And then that third week you have like the offer kind of on one product. And so that person who bought four, like they don't really care, because they're like, hey, I have four of these things. Like I got a sick deal. Like I don't care about you one purchaser folks. And so that's kind of how I see it, is like staggering it. You should be segmenting out people who...
So higher requirements at the start of the month?
It's not a set rule. Like it depends all on your brand, but that's how I like to play around with it and just like sequence it out just to like keep it kind of like I said, in a simple format. Like for some brands, it's not realistic. Like in like, maybe you're in like the apparel space or something, and you're really like drop heavy. There might be different kind of types of brands, but for this specific brand, that's how I play around with it, because I'm guessing they just sell a ton of insoles, and like, I don't know if they sell other things as well. But I'm guessing that's kind of how they look at it, or they should be looking at it. And then I would say, like, we definitely want to be excluding at least people who've purchased in like the last like 7 days during BFCM. Usually I'm much more aggressive with like exclusions from sales. But during the holidays, like people do repeat, they do come back. So once BFCM comes, I just want to make sure whatever that offer is, it feels like something special and limited time, so that even though those folks maybe purchased early, they don't feel like they got screwed, so that we can actually hit them with an offer again. And then that way we can actually get them to purchase one more time. And if you're like a bigger brand and you have like loyalty programs and stuff, this is like gravy for you, because those people probably collected points and they've got another excuse to like spend those points now. Especially in like the apparel world, that's a big one.
Hey, what about brands that refuse to discount? There's always some, and they really pat themselves on the back for not offering you a discount. That's what always baffles me about that approach. I get that, like how some brands operate, but the email that's just like, it is so smug in them not giving you a discount.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in that cohort of brands and you're listening right now, you're probably like typing like an email or like a tweet to me being like, oh, this guy, like all he wants is like discounts. I think I don't disagree with some brands who stay like super like non-promotional. The obvious example is like the luxury players in the world, the really, really high end, because inherently like that consumer wants to pay for full price and they want to feel like people can't afford that product. So when they see a discount, they almost feel turned off and they don't want to shop at that brand anymore.
I think those brands could still do like a free gift with purchase exclusive.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, I mean, like if you shop at Gucci, like Gucci will send you like, come to the store, like here's like a special, we'll give you a like special gift, or we'll give you like, here's like a $200 gift card. And it's not a discount, but it really kind of is. So, I guess like high level, like what my thoughts are, there's definitely an outlier, like cohort of brands who probably don't need to discount. That being said, the brands who are listening, who are like, we're better than discounts, I would just argue like you're probably leaving a ton of money on the table by not testing it. You should use Black Friday as a moment to not like agree with me, but like kind of prove yourself wrong. You can take 10% of your cohort and try to run a promotional calendar against them and actually see like, hey, like if I run this sale, just for these next 2 months, run a couple offers on this cohort, come next November, let's take a look at that cohort over a 10-month stretch. Did those people come back and purchase more or less than the average cohort who doesn't get promos? And you should have like a statistical opinion on whether or not it makes sense. I think on average, when I hear brands who don't promo, for the most part, I think they're being too conservative. And when we do end up testing, usually the data like favors running occasional promos just because whatever in America, I live in Canada, people love discounts here. People want discounts at every tier, at every customer spend cohort, every household income. Everyone loves a nice offer in Canada. And I know the US is no different from working with my clients. So my like comeback to that is basically like, hey, like go test it. Like neither of us is correct. It really depends on your brand. Just like we test like offers for the brands we work with, you should be testing offers on your brand and understanding like, am I right on this or am I making like a really big mistake? Because the upside could be 2 to 3x growth because you're kind of building in these really big peak moments for your brand. That are also driving other benefits for you that you don't even realize.
Man, those order change emails suck. They're always like, I ordered the wrong size. I meant to change the shipping address. Oops, I was drunk. Instead of making customers email you that stuff, let them fix it themselves with Cleverific. Cleverific is a self-service portal that lets customers edit their orders without bugging you. That means you get fewer headaches, customers get faster fulfillment, and there's fewer returns overall. Everybody wins. Peter Manning New York cut their support tickets by 99% with Cleverific. You want in on that? Get 50% off the pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Done. Problem solved. That's Cleverific. Let's keep walking through our example here. Black Friday rolls around. How many emails you send in? 5? 10? 1?
I'll share like an interesting anecdote, which is I recently interviewed a candidate for a role, and I won't say too much about like what market she was in, like what country, but she basically like worked with like a Netflix equivalent. And she said that on Black Friday, they sent 30 campaigns just on Black Friday, with like insane levels of segmentation. But, and that's really just to like illustrate at the scale that like Netflix is where, and this is just for one country that she was operating in. They have such a big list and like so many cohorts of users that it makes sense for them to spend the time building out 30 different email campaigns just for one day because the ROI is, I hope the ROI is there for them. So that's kind of like the perspective of like, if you just like slide the scale to like the biggest possible list, like that's what like the really, really sophisticated brands are doing is they're going really aggressive for Black Friday. I would say for us, like our like most aggressive brands, we're doing 5 emails on Black Friday. We're doing 3 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and then anywhere from 3 to 5 on Cyber Monday as well. And the reason for that is like, these are literally the biggest, like the biggest spike days of the year. And we've tested this in past years of like sending more and it always drives more revenue. And so 5 is like what we're doing now for most brands. I don't know, we might do a podcast next year and I might say, hey, like that wasn't enough. We're testing 7 now. But that's kind of what we're testing now is like, if we push to 5, where does it land? And if you subscribe to like a lot of like the bigger apparel brands, a lot of the bigger homeware brands, gifting based brands, just watch what they do this year. And you'll probably be surprised by how many text messages and how many emails you get just in like a 24-hour span. But yeah, that's basically our approach.
But I agree with you. You know, the answer is send more. And you know, November, December is just a free for all on inboxes. But people still get nervous about it. They rightly want to protect their audience. And so what are the signals that they're going too far, that they're burning their list? And what metrics do we look out for? How do we help give people the tools to be confident in sending more email?
Yeah, for sure. I would say like first things first, the ROI needs to be there. If you look at last year, maybe you sent 2 emails, take a look like how much revenue those emails actually drive. And is there like a return on investment? Like if I pay my agency to make 3 more, will there be an ROI there? And that's the first question I would ask. From an actual like metric standpoint, I kind of see Black Friday as like multiple days in one. And so like you can break up Black Friday into 3 days. You could break it up into 5 day, like five, whatever, 3 to 4 hour increments. And people are behaving differently at every hour of the day. They're at work, they're at night shopping, they're doing late night before midnight urgency shopping. But the metrics I'm looking at least this year is definitely like the normal metrics. So we're looking at opens, we're looking at clicks, we're looking at how much revenue. And then I'm also just looking at like Shopify, like basically once that email sends out, it's got like a 1 or 2 hour half-life until like your old news, like people have already moved on to other things and they're shopping, they're shopping for other stuff. And so that's how we're approaching it. And from there, we're able to assess like, was it successful? Should we have sent more? Should we have sent less? We are keeping an eye on unsubscribe rates because that's probably what you're hinting at. I wouldn't say we've had like major unsubscribe issues, at least for most brands that we did like 3, 4, 5 in the past years. It's literally never been an issue where it's like, oh, we got a bunch of unsubscribes, like people hated us. And the reason for that is very simple, is you send good content. Black Friday is not an excuse to just send garbage to your like customers. It needs to be intentional. Like the content needs to be interesting, and every campaign should be either a build on the last one, or it should be something different or unique. I've mentioned it a few times in this podcast, but like I see it all as kind of like dopamine hits. So it's like, how can we make every email on that day unique and like break through the inbox and get people to open and different from the last? Because if someone opens the first two and they're the exact same, the odds that they'll open the third, fourth, fifth are very small. But if you could be more creative throughout the day with different types of content and just get people excited to open those emails, all the better. And then there's also like the reality of like people aren't around all day on Black Friday. You might have like a 3 hour window to hit. And if you don't act in those 3 hours, like that customer has 600 other Black Friday emails in their inbox and like you don't exist. So the odds that they'll even see those is like very little. Like I don't think anybody goes back and like clears out all their Black Friday emails because it's just gotten so ridiculous at this point.
For me, it's unsubscribe season. That's where I find everything I've been subscribed to and start picking out the ones I don't want anymore. But okay. It sounds like, you know, on that day, because there is so much noise, I need to stand out. I think the signal is going to be subject line and to a lesser extent, preview text. So give me your thoughts on subject lines, because I know you got them.
I have a lot of thoughts on subject lines. I see so many brands make so many errors. So I'm happy to share, like, if it's interesting to you, I can share just like some simple like starter frameworks, that we approach. So when it comes to subject lines, like the 80-20 approach is one, like keep your subject lines short. I get so many big brands that send me like a novel, like it's like a sentence, sometimes two sentences long, in my inbox, and I can't open it. Like as a marketer, like you should be looking at everything on your phone. Unless your demographic is like 70 plus, then like maybe you should be looking at it in like AOL or Yahoo or something like that. But like if you open your emails on ideally like an iPhone or an Android, you'll see like how much copy people can actually read in the subject line. What I see so many brands do is like they'll put this novel inside of the subject line. It'll get truncated with those little like dot dot dots because it can't squeeze the whole message. And then by the time the person opens the email, they're no longer looking at that subject line. They're looking at the content. So essentially what you've done is you've just created content that no one's going to read. And when I look at the preview text, what basically like 95% of e-com people don't realize is the preview text, when it gets cut off on your phone, like when it gets truncated, so like whatever, you have like 5, 6, maybe 7 words to put into that preview text on like the Gmail app, for example. When that preview text gets truncated, it can never be read again. So when someone clicks that email and they open the email, the preview text doesn't show up anywhere. It's disappeared. It's gone. The whole concept of it is a preview of the email. So Gmail doesn't show you that. So you basically, once again, created content no one's going to read. So if you compound those two things, you've created a long subject, a long preview text. You've basically written all this copy. You've gotten your bosses to approve it and whatnot, and nobody can read it. So the first thing first, keep it simple. Keep it short.
Character limit.
So I look less at character limits. I'm like kind of old school. Usually what I tell my team is like 5, 6, or 7 words max, but those words better be short. If you're using emojis, you should almost treat an emoji as a word. So like one emoji plus like 5 short words, like that's fine. That's how I look at it. Less character limit because it doesn't always work. And then preview it on your phone, ideally like multiple phones. Send it to a colleague. Send it to whoever and like ask, send it to your customer at least and like look at it how it looks like on their phone. And that'll give you an idea of like, okay, this is like, this is long enough. It's not getting truncated. It tells the story I want to tell before I get my click. The second piece
is subject lines. Trying to get a brief, sensical subject line. Never will you overthink anything more than trying to do those subject lines.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we've spent a ton of time in our agency. Like we've got like infinite numbers of like inspiration and ideas, and we're always saving like subject lines we like.
I'm sure you have a sick spreadsheet swipe file.
Yeah, we've got swipe files. But more importantly than a swipe file, like, and I can share some of this. I've got like some notes here, but we have frameworks for like how to disrupt the inbox because every campaign is different. So you can't always use the swipe file and like steal stuff necessarily. You kind of have to always reinvent yourself because I find like with subject lines, just like with everything else, people start to copy each other and stuff starts to feel old. A lot of brands, like they stick to a structure over time and it's always the same. It's the same. It's the same. But at the end of the day, a subject line, like it needs to disrupt. It needs to feel different because you want to win that click to get people to open your campaign. And your campaign also needs to disrupt and it needs to get people to click to your website and ideally buy what's new on your site, whether it's new arrivals, whether it's a promo, etc. So it really does all start with that subject line. So if you're not like treating it as poetry and like giving it love, your open rates are going to be worse. And it's a very simple mathematical equation from there on how that impacts at the end of the day, your bottom line.
So when the dust settles, Cyber Monday rolls around and then we're still going because it's like Black Friday, we're running our sale. Cyber Monday, we're running our sale. What are you looking at after the event when a client says, how do we do? What are the metrics you point to say this did or didn't work?
So typically with clients, we'll look at like what their targets are as a total business and also for email coming in. We'll look at like how well did they sell through their like whatever hero products that they were looking to sell through. And then we'll look at like any tests that we did happen to run. Any holdout testing, we'll try to see like, was that a good idea? Was that a bad idea? And then lastly, we'll look at just like list behavior. How engaged were people? Were they clicking? What got the most clicks? Black Friday obviously doesn't, like the holidays doesn't stop at Black Friday. But that's usually a point where we assess like, okay, the next like 12, 14 days, do we feel good about what we're doing? Or do we need to like make like an urgent correction, of course?
All right, let's walk through another exercise. You could send 5 emails. What are they?
Okay, so is it like November, December, or when are we, what's my criteria?
It's got to be in the next 6 weeks.
The next six
weeks. Send any 5 emails in the next 6 weeks.
Okay. I think if I'm like this brand, like Victory, first thing I'm doing is definitely like a new arrivals, like a release, along with like probably some level of like bundling in there as well. Just because I don't have a lot of emails to work with. So that whole like strategy and hierarchy, like obviously doesn't make sense. But I think early on, what I want to do is just have a fairly big early November, like blockbuster release, and also include that into a bunch of bundles. Try and still capture those like bigger, higher AOV cohort kind of customers. That's probably the first thing I'm doing. Probably the week before Black Friday, or maybe even like mid November, I'm definitely running some sort of a special offer to capture anybody who hasn't purchased my new product and who's never purchased. And then possibly some customers who haven't purchased in a long time, just to see like, can I pull some people out of the market and like just like clear some folks out of my funnel. And that'll be like ideally a very different offer from whatever's coming in Black Friday so that people don't get pissed off come Black Friday. So that's two. I think my third email is going to be Black Friday next. That's the biggest sale day of the year. So I want that to be kind of like a blockbuster promo that I've ideally tested at this point. Cyber Monday, I'm hitting again. So I'm making my Black Friday sale 4 days long. My Black Friday, I'll probably put some sort of special offer just for Black Friday. And then on Cyber Monday, maybe I'll switch it up a little bit with a different gift with purchase like we talked about. So that'll be my fourth email. And then my fifth email, this is super brand specific, but I kind of leave it as like a placeholder promotion opportunity, basically like coming out of Cyber Monday. I'll let the brand figure out how are we doing on inventory? How are we doing on like our sales numbers? And like, do we want another promotion or do we want to do like a really gift guide heavy, hey, like last chance to shop before Christmas kind of thing. And it'll either be like a promo to clear out inventory we have too much of, or it'll just be a really simple like gift guide and like reminder of what makes our product special and why it's like the perfect holiday gift. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm thinking. Do you think I missed anything? I'm curious.
Well, all right. I agree with all of those. And then, you know, if we take the handcuffs off of, you know, 5 emails over 2 months, why you could also do shipping deadline in December, you know, like last day for guaranteed Christmas delivery. And then on Christmas, you know, you could do, I always do like, didn't get what you really want. And then you could either offer people like a gift card or just, you know, another like specific sale to try and get them to buy. Cause often people have like on Christmas Day, maybe they got gift cards, you know, maybe they're in a good mood, but just not enough people try and do a Christmas Day sale. And so I think it's in like inboxes are quiet that day. And so I think it's a missed opportunity for a lot of folks.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of people who are like alone on Christmas and like they're looking for like interesting things to do. And like there's people who maybe they're traveling or maybe they're like in some weird situation on Christmas, and like you could still talk to those customers, or even that like post Christmas meal, like everyone's kind of tired and like wants to take a nap. Maybe you could hit an offer during that. Like you could do cool things and like play around with that. I saw Ezra Firestone talk a few weeks ago at ECF, and like one really cool one that he said was like a countdown to New Year sale. We're going to be testing that with a few clients this year, but I thought like what a brilliant idea, because you're kind of mixing this like concept of like urgency, end of year inventory, like last chance to like get your like New Year's resolutions in. You kind of like bundle that all up and like tie that up with like the natural like anticipation of New Year, where everyone's kind of like nervous, like crap, another year is coming kind of thing. And so you pull that all together. I thought that was like a brilliant concept for sale. So shout out to Ezra. We're still on that one.
Ezra, he's really good. And he's done, I know he's done 7 figures on just like single day Black Friday with Boom in the past. He's been on the show. We've done the same style episode with you. We have done with him in years past. So I always make sure to do like
a Black Friday email
marketing episode. Okay. Well, if I wanted to hire you to handle these things for me in the future, where do I go? Tell me where we could find you.
So bedfordmarketing.co. We've got a website. You can reach out. I have a Twitter account, Ball and Phil, Phil with an F. And then for those of you guys who are like not looking for an agency, but you love email and you're like, wow, I want to like hear everything. I want to like nerd out on this stuff. I actually have a newsletter, and maybe Kurt, you can just link it. It's like a Beehive link, so it's kind of hard to type out. But if you can like
I'll put the stuff in the show notes.
But I go really deep into it, and like all the topics we talk about, like I nerd out very in depth, as you could probably tell. And so that's probably the best place to find me, honestly, if you want to hear me kind of rambling on Twitter or work with our agency, like more than happy to chat.
Beautiful. All right. I will include all that stuff in the show notes. Phil. All right, one last one. Give me your single favorite subject line. You get one.
Single favorite subject line.
It's just 3 eggplant emojis. I bet the open rate is wild. They're like, what is this?
What I found is like a new arrival and a sale email subject line will outperform like almost any creative, like funny, cute idea. People just love those.
Oh God,
two
don't
things.
Be clever. It never works.
So that's like the sad truth. But if you're like, hey, like I'm on my like 4th sale email, I think anything that's like shock or curiosity driving is like always so interesting. Like something crazy that like you're just like, what the hell? Like I just got off the phone with the US senator or something like that. And you're just like, wait, what? And like it's just like it's just you have to click on it. That's probably like one of the better
hearing
ones.
You say, I just got off the phone with the US senator, made me immediately go, you did?
Exactly. And that's okay, really like it. The art of subject line writing is like, that needs to be like, when you read a subject line, like it needs to be like gears turning in people's heads. Or like, wait, I have to open this.
It's curiosity driven, but like it's really tough, you know, to come up with something that is, you know, clever, clear, concise, harder than you think.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe a future subject line episode, we can go through and like riff on like some really crazy ideas. But that's my challenge to all the listeners is like, how do you spark that? And if you do that going into holidays, you will like, you will beat out like all your competitors, at least in the inbox, which is a really nice thing.
That's all good advice. All right. Philip Page, Bedford Marketing. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kurt. Really appreciate it. Hope you have an awesome PFCM, everyone.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.